Horizontal hostility is a sociological phenomenon used to describe infighting or fractionalism within a minority movement, rather than banding together, subgroups snipe and fight with each other. It's a weird thing that happens within small subcultures when outsiders look in and they see the different groups fighting among each other. You know, some humorous examples is, you know, why is it that people that love Star Wars can't stand Star Trek fans? Or did you know that vegans can't get along with vegetarians? Or there's people within the Disney fan culture who love Walt Disney World in Florida but refuse to go to Disneyland in California and vice versa. Or they're within the motorcycle community, there's BMW bikers who would rather walk than ride a Harley Davidson, but don't worry, the feeling is mutual. To people like us outside these subcultures, these differences seem almost comical or trivial, but to the people within these communities, the differences are huge and define who they are. In fact, these subcultures become more and more enthusiastic and entrenched in these turf wars, they end up looking more and more bizarre to the general public. Today on Unseminary, horizontal hostility. What is it? Why is it killing the church? And how to fix it?
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, today, folks, we're going to jump into this article here. It's on our site. Make sure you drop by at onseminary.com and check it out. It's all about this concept called horizontal hostility. You know, I gave some funny examples off the lead off there, but, you know, there's some more serious examples. Like, for instance, the first deaf Miss America, I don't remember her name, was Heather Whitestone. She was actually protested by a bunch of people in the deaf community because she used oral English and not American Sign Language. She wasn't deaf enough for her contemporaries, or Maria Heilton. She was the first African-American law professor at Northwestern University, and she was protested against by the Northwestern Black Student Association because she was too light-skinned and not considered black enough. Man, it's crazy. So this idea of horizontal hostility, it can seem funny, but actually it has a pretty dark side to it. And in fact, in recent years, this behavior has been accelerated because it's now possible for subgroups to self-organize on the internet and actually to become, you know, smaller and smaller. And the dark side of finding a community online is that these groups can continue to splinter into small and smaller, more passionate subgroups, you know, having more stringent of rules about who's defined and who's in and who's out. And unfortunately, this behavior is pervasive within the church too. And frankly, I think it's killing us. The widespread impact of horizontal hostility on the body of Christ is accelerating our collective irrelevance and paving the path towards the decline of the church. Let me say that again. The widespread impact of horizontal hostility on the body of Christ is accelerating our collective irrelevance and paving the path towards the decline of the church. And unfortunately, it's relatively easy to find examples of this behavior all over online. In fact, you know, just a quick search on Google and you'll find some of these. You know, Jared Wilson from Midwestern University publicly questioned Andy Stanley. You can go to the article and find the links to these. You know, publicly, you know, questions in a pretty harsh manner Andy Stanley from North Point Church about his use of the Bible. Ironically, if you were to compare the faith statements between Midwestern and North Point, if you were to line them up together, there actually is a lot of similarities due to the fact that Andy actually and most of his leadership circle actually come out of Southern Baptist circles. Or two Canadian churches that I'm, well, the first isn't a Canadian, a Harvest Bible Chapel, Pastor Jacob Rayum was calling out Brexy Cavey, who is a lead guy. Actually, we've had him on the podcast in the past for his view of scripture, even as far as to call him a false teacher. Dude, that is serious language. Anybody that reads the New Testament knows what happens to false teachers. And here you have two pastors. You have one pastor, both of these guys use scripture on Sunday morning. They both have a high view of scripture, and one of them has the guts to call it another one and say that he has a low view of scripture. And this is after the Meeting House has actually gone out of its way to publicly affirm and celebrate this brother sister church Harvest and its distinctives publicly. You know, there, if you look on another example on Red Letter Christians, you know, this is, you know, a progressive evangelical church. You know, the most shared article on there is actually by them really questioning the use of the term evangelical and whether they want to be called that, which is kind of ironic because, you know, folks in a in broader, more progressive movements would look at Red Letter Church and say, man, you guys are pretty conservative within the evangelical world. And then obviously more conservative evangelicals would look at Red Letter Christians and say, man, that group isn't a part of our tribe. The point I'm trying to get at here is that oftentimes we find ourselves arguing with those people that we're the closest with. And what that's doing is damaging our collective witness to the world around us. All this arguing among ourselves would be interesting parlor conversation if the broader church was having widespread impact, but really the opposite of is true. We do not have the luxury of horizontal hostility anymore. We've talked about this before. 94% of all churches are losing ground against the population of the growth of the communities they're in. By 2050, the percentage of the U.S. population attending church will be half of that of what it was in 1990. The church is caught in a dramatic downward spiral, and rather than banding together, we're scattering farther and farther apart. At the very moment when we need to see the commonality of our fellow Christ-following brothers and sisters, we're actually fracturing into smaller and smaller subsets with decreasing impact and effectiveness. Where are the unifying voices in the church today who are looking for common ground to kind of gain us, to gather us together rather than to put wedges among us? You know, I'm thinking of Billy Graham in the 50s and 40s when really, he was a part of the fundamentalists and that movement had become so fractured and people were, there's so much infighting that actually a group of Wheaton evangelicals gathered together and said, we need a new word. And that's really where the rise of the word evangelical came. And ultimately, that group went on to reach millions for Jesus. Well, in the article, I talk about six ways that horizontal hostility is killing the church. And you could actually think about this as not just killing the Big C church, but also your church specifically. The first is stunted discipleship. Frankly, if you just keep gathering people who are like you together and keep having the same conversations that you're having with each other all the time, you're missing out on a broad spectrum understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. You are stunting your and your people's discipleship. Shifted focus is the second reason. You know, picking on other churches is an easy and secondary target. It's small leadership focusing on small issues. It's taking our eyes off Christ's final command to his first followers when he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. His last word needs to be our first priority. Picking fights among ourselves distracts us all from doing what we really should be doing. Sideways energy. If you've ever been picked on, you'll know that that this really does churn a lot of internal angst within your organization. You spend a lot of weeks, months, maybe even trying to figure out if it's worth responding to this other person. Even if you decide in the end to stay quiet, I can guarantee you that inside these organizations that are being picked on, it is distracting them from what God's calling them to do. Echo chamber. If you look around and everyone in your ministry looks and acts the same as you, it's time for a change. The body of Christ should be the most dynamic and diverse gatherings in our community. Horizontal hostility ends up forcing us into homogenous units that look increasingly strange to the outside world. Think about the last time you saw a religious group that all acted and sounded the same and dressed the same. How did that make you feel? It creeped you out, right? Well, the impact of horizontal hostility actually does this to all of us. It makes our ministries blander and ultimately less effective in reaching beyond ourselves. Operational drag. I was trying to think of a lofty way to talk about operational drag, but it's really just a complete waste of resources. The effort required to define the line between who is in and who is out, it proves to be a costly one. The time, effort, and energy, the blog posts that all these people write are long. They take tons of time and energy to generate, which is frankly a misuse of church resources. It's a misuse of your church's resources. Taking time really to do this is a waste of effort. It's bad stewardship. And finally, the sixth way that this is killing the church and your church specifically is SEO impact. I led a ministry once that was falsely attacked online. Honestly, the claims were baseless, and I think the people making them were just bored and wanted to take us down a notch because of the growth and impact our ministry was making. It seemed like, may seem like a trivial thing, but actually the online posts and forum discussions lingered on our ministry for years. The impact of those lingered for years. It had real world impact as we interacted with suppliers, town officials, and vendors for years to come. We ended up needing to explain these false claims time and time again. I'm sure it negatively impacted on our ability to do ministry. You know, search engines attempt to present a balanced view of an organization. So negative stories like this quickly float up in the rankings and stick around for a long time. It may seem like a fun time to you in the short term, but actually in the long term, it damages the impact of Jesus. Please consider the long-term impact your words are going to have on another brother or sister. You know, there's a piece of scripture in Matthew 7, and I talk about it in the verse. I'm going to let you go find that there, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Look that verse up. And, you know, what Jesus is saying here is that, you know, that there are people who are leading amazing ministry, but they are somehow doing it apart from him. You know, and I think people read that verse and we often think of the church across town, but the question I have for you, that is for you and for me. We read that passage and what we shouldn't be doing is thinking about the church across town. We should be thinking about us. Is it possible that the ministry we're leading is somehow apart from what God has for us? Man, that just freaks me out. That passage just gives me the willies. Well, let's talk about, you know, four ways that every church leader can fight horizontal hostility. The first way is Jesus. He's our example from start to finish. Before you take on somebody else, ask yourself if what you are doing is reflecting the Spirit of Christ. In a world that is walking farther and farther away from God, is this what will help people see Jesus more clearly? What you're about to do to try to take another ministry leader down? Befriend church leaders. Get outside your tribe. Find some Christ followers who aren't like you. Get to know them. See them in their finest hour and celebrate with them. Get to know their dreams for the future. Pray for those dreams. Publicly celebrate. And that's part of what I love. The earlier example I used with the Meeting House, Brexit Cave in the Meeting House, I love what they did a couple summers ago where they got a chance to celebrate churches from a bunch of different parts of the Christian world. And they celebrated those and said, God's doing some cool stuff in here. Here's some ways we can learn from each other. And ironically, one of those churches, Harvest Bible Chapel, that they celebrated, ended up trying to take them down publicly online. So sad. So sad. In the end, I think those, you know, that fruit will bear itself out. Take time in your services to celebrate what God is doing through other churches and the ministries close to you. Bonus points for doing it for a church where people are leaving to go to. We all know we have those churches where people leave ours and go there. What if you celebrated them this weekend? The fourth way that every church can fight horizontal hostility is to ignore the arguments. Don't get entrapped by this, rub me. Don't feed the trolls. Rise above this and move on. Be blissfully unaware of what people are talking away about. Walk away when you're with one of those other church leaders and they start poking somebody else. Repent and ask for forgiveness if you've engaged in it. Listen, I'd love to hear from you. Where do you see this at work? Where have you seen horizontal hostility? Maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I've got some blind spots around this. Maybe I'm calling for something that just really is a bad idea. I'd love to hear, how do I need to learn and grow? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Unseminary Podcast. We'll be back to our normal episodes tomorrow with just an incredible interview that you're going to want to hear. Thanks so much, friends.